Oh, and welcome to the Brothers Geek Podcast. My name is Patrick Schmaltz.
It's so awful.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. My name is Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Hi.
And hello, Andrew.
Hello.
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 We're brothers, we're geeks, we talk about geeky things. This is episode number 164.
Yeah, 164.
And this is April 11th. We're talking about whatever we want. Geeky stuff, usually.
Have we posted 163?
Let's talk about
sons of bitches.
My show notes are done. Mm. They need to be approved. And then Patrick can post. So Christopher... The CEO has not approved the show notes.
This
is on you, Christopher.
It's not on me.
As the managing editor.
When did you send the show notes to get caught up? I will tell you.
I will bring up my sent email folder.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And I will tell you. They were sent on March 23rd.
We don't need to know this.
18 days ago.
It's a complete lie.
It's not a complete lie.
So,
I think I responded to that.
You did not.
I still blame both of you.
So, Warner Brothers dropped Godzilla versus Kong.
We're not gonna talk shit any more shit to each
other.
We're
not gonna talk any more shit. I'm trying to just go with it. Godzilla versus Kong.
That's a pro move. Good job, Pat.
We're gonna talk about Godzilla versus Kong, probably with spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, maybe skip ahead 20 minutes to 10 minutes. I don't know how long we're gonna talk. But
we'll put a timestamp on the show. We'll put a timestamp in the show.
Sure. That's something we totally do.
Totally do a timestamp. Spoilers for that if you haven't watched it, but you should go watch it because it's pretty dumb, stupid fun. What did you guys think? Tell us about your.
Christopher went and saw it in a theater the other night for the first time in like 14 months, right, Chris?
Tell me about this experience, Christopher. Give us details.
Yes, Kira and I, we saw it in the theater together. We were trying to remember what was the last movie we saw in a theater. Certainly it would have been February of 2020 would be the earliest.
For the last movie I saw in the theater, it was Onward.
That might have been what we saw, actually, now that you say that.
Yeah, we saw Onward, and then like 2 weeks later, it was on streaming. 2 weeks, it was like, my God.
No, I think you're right, Patrick. Now that you say that out loud, that's exactly the last movie we saw, and that was, what, February or early March?
February or early March.
I'm fully vaccinated. Kira has been ultra safe and careful, and she's, in in-person school these days, and lots of good protocols and all of that. And so I made the decision that this is the kind of movie that we absolutely should see in the theater on a big ass screen.
Absolutely. And
we have a very nice, large TV at the house these days, but I figured I would, I felt safe and vaccinated. And so we're going to go see it. And it was a surreal experience, I have to say, being back in the theater because it was COVID protocol, the concession stand, everything that could be like a surface transferring, like germs was removed from all the display cases. You could get popcorn. We got popcorn and then we got beverages. And then next to the checkout was the typical display case of candy or whatever.
Is this theater, and then percentage wise, how full was this?
There were 8 people in the theater, and total. It is, yeah,
And how many could it sit? How many?
It's the biggest Cinemark XD theater in Tucson.
250 people.
Oh yeah, it's the premiere for this theater at Park Place Mall.
How do these theaters stay open with 8 people going to see this movie?
They're getting federal money.
I have no idea.
They've been getting federal money, legit.
Paycheck Protection Program. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
So, and retail investors, they saved. I read an article about retail investors saving AMC.
Wow.
It was literally 8 people in the theater. And they, when you order, and it's all reserved seating, right? So when I ordered 2 seats, like in the center of the theater, to have the premium, the best possible view, then they immediately block out all the seats next to you so that nobody else can choose them. But, you know, there was 8 people in the theater.
How many people do they, like, space out in between parties? Like, is it 1 or 2 chairs?
No, it's at least 6 feet. So it's probably at least 2 chairs.
I would say 2 chairs is a...
Yeah. That's been my experience. Because Ashton and I went and saw it in the theater as well, and it's the same kind of experience. You sit down, and then they immediately, like, when the online reservation system that the company that we use did, they have open seats, gray seats, open seats, gray seats. So it's already selected where there's, so, you know, but that's awesome. Okay, so now we've gotten the theater experience set up.
Yeah, and it was glorious to be back in a theater, I have to say.
Do they have a mask for the entirety of the show?
Hmm?
They're like, you have to keep your mask on except if you're eating, right? Yeah.
Correct. Yes, correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So what'd you think of the movie?
I thought it was, as I texted to you yesterday, it is top 5 check your brain at the door, dumb fun.
Yes.
70% of it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Correct. Incoherent shit.
Honestly, 70% might be kind of conservative. 100%. That might be a low ball.
100%. You're right. I'm being generous.
really?
It is. But you do not go to a movie like this for the artful writing and the wonderful acting.
No,
and the coherence of the story. No. You go for the Titans kicking ass.
Yes.
And this movie brought it strong.
What is Millie Bobby Brown's character's name?
Madison.
No effing clue.
Madison. Andrew.
The only reason I know because I watched Godzilla, King of Monsters, and she's a central character.
That's hilarious. Like
3 days before we went and saw the movie, my God. So I remembered.
They don't even say. Oh, jeez, that's Madison. So right.
So unbelievable. So let me just like let me preface.
Her mom's name is Emma. Her mom's name is Emma, right?
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me preface this a little bit. Like, this is the 4th movie in this. What are they calling this? Monarch verse or whatever. Because Monarch is the through line. They're the company. The company that's like following all these guys. And it's Godzilla 2014, and then in Kong Skull Island, which takes place in the 70s, so it's like young Kong, and then Godzilla King of Monsters, which I think is the worst one of these 4. It looks like shit, but people have been talking to me like they like that movie. Are we like the odd ones out that like I thought it was the worst. Unwatchable.
Oh, I don't think it's unwatchable. I think of the 4, King of Monsters is definitely the weakest.
Yeah.
There's more Titan on Titan stuff, I like in that.
I really like
Ghidorah is awesome as a creature. I love that monster. Yeah.
And then the Rodan like chase. I think we even talked about this when we saw that where they're flying in that big stealth bomber looking thing, and then the Rodan is like chasing them.
Yeah.
That scene is amazing.
It's a lot of fun. There's good, really good action in that film.
There's good moments in it. But they restart Godzilla's heart with a nuclear bomb, guys.
And they go, they're in Atlantis at the time.
Yes, yes.
That's Godzilla's like
a lot of hand-waving.
Well, yeah. I mean, they definitely established that tradition.
Godzilla versus Kong. You go there because Godzilla and Kong are going to fight each other.
Right.
And they do, and it's awesome.
Well, honesty, let's go around the room. Team Godzilla or Team Kong before you went to the movie?
Godzilla.
What were you?
Godzilla.
Me too. Kong. I was Team Kong.
I was Team Godzilla. Godzilla is going to kick his ass.
And what sucks about this movie is Kong is kind of the main character of the movie. He's got more story.
Yes.
It starts with him. It's more about his journey to underground. And then Kong is...
Hollow Earth, hello. Let's use the proper bullshit term, the Hollow Earth.
No, but like his like...
And gravity inversion.
A concept
that makes no effing sense at all.
And the center of the Earth... Like, there's so much pressure on that thing.
It's just completely ridiculous. And okay. I'm going to disagree with you. Hold on. I want to counter specifically something that Christopher said.
Okay, Christopher.
I think this is some of the best acting you'll ever see because the moments that have to be sold with the complete absurdity of what's happening, these actors are committed.
You know
to
what?
This bullshit.
That is
and
an
they ex- are in it.
Andrew, that is an excellent point. I take back what I said. You're exactly right. The acting wasn't bad. It's everything related to the humans was bad.
So if you're the center of the Earth and you're a monster that grew up there, fine. You're a giant monster that lives
your
in the
genetic
center.
Lineage started there.
Sure. So the pressures of the
sure,
Earth
exactly.
are...
Sure.
The most important... This is... Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
These pressures are pushing on your skin, gravity pushing, like intense gravitational pull pushing on you. So you're tough. You're extra strong.
Everything is extra dense. Yes, your bones are extra dense.
I get that. I can like take some hand waving at that.
You
kind
can
of
make
stuff.
The mental leap to get there.
And then the humans, dude, they don't even try. That's
an explanation you just added, though, dude. They don't even try. That's headcanon shit, dude.
But then the humans are in their spaceship that are built to withstand the pressures of this intense
right.
thing that you're.
Well,
and then the humans
by
step
the way,
out.
By the
transition.
Way,
hold on. The hold transition. On, the
if
transition.
You built, yeah. If you built gravity ships, like you just opened up, like we can now explore the outer planets. Like
yes,
we just built spaceships.
Oh, yeah.
You built a gravity drive.
We're going to talk
about what you're using it for.
I'm going to talk to you about
go
the
colonize
technology.
Mars with your gravity drives.
I'm going to talk about like the technology of this movie in a second. Hold on. But
why are you even trying
I got something to say. So there are these ships, and they go underground, and they're built to withstand the pressures and the gravity and all this stuff. And then they open the door, and they step out, and they are a pancake. They are smushed. You are a human who is not made for that. You are goo. You have turned into goo.
Gravity has been inverted.
Oh, so you're pulled apart like a spaghetti man.
It's like they're diving and they equalize.
There's equilibrium in Hollow Earth. Equilibrium, yeah.
You know, in the scene in the Abyss, when they go into the tank and they have to pressurize.
It's in that moment of pressure. It's the confluence of gravity.
They went through the thing and they felt like their intestines were getting ripped out by a Hulk.
That was two lines where the Alexander Skarsgård is explaining my brother went in and we reached the point. They reached the point where he was smashed to death. Because they couldn't get past the threshold of the equilibrium of the gravity.
This is the best acting he's ever done because he sold that complete gobbledygook.
Freaking stupid.
So the spaceships that they've invented, the hover spaceships that they've invented,
the gravity drives
that go through the the teleporter to the center of the Earth, this giant swirly pile of gravity ship.
Or as we like to say, tunnel.
Tunnel. But yeah.
There's no wormhole.
There was a wormhole. Watch it again. There's a wormhole that they go through. Then,
not a wormhole.
Godzilla
stands in on Hong Kong and digs a hole.
I know. It's not a wormhole. I know wormholes.
There's no wormhole.
There, will you guys, that is the surf. No, no, no. That, let me explain to you in technical terms. That is not a wormhole. That is the surface tension of the inversion layer of gravities.
Inversion layer.
Yes. A lot like a swirly like wormhole to me.
Surface tension between inverted gravity.
It's timey-wimey spacey stuff.
They even go like through timey-wimey stuff. There is a teleporting light effect that happens in the movie where they pew and they stretch like for a second and Godzilla stretches King Kong gets stretched and then Godzilla just stands on Hong Kong and digs a hole with his laser breath.
Nuclear breath.
That is right incredible. At the foot of where
Kong is. Not even like trying to aim.
It's perfect.
That is easily the biggest in any movie we have ever seen. I'm going to say this right now. In any movie we have ever seen, that is the biggest display of power in the history of movies. That nuclear breath.
Oh, hold on.
Carving.
Eliminating half the life in the universe
with her own. He's using a device to do that. I'm talking about personal individual power display. Carving a tunnel through with your breath to the center of the Earth.
How many thousands of miles
of mantle and rock.
Yeah,
to the center of Hollow Earth.
It hits Kong and Mechagodzilla and doesn't kill either one of them. He can make a 1,000-mile tunnel in seconds with his nuclear breath, and it doesn't just obliterate every living thing that it comes in contact with.
I go back to my original point, which is check your effing brain.
Brain at the door.
If this like nuclear breath is like radiation based. Then when he uses it, doesn't it just irradiate the area? Like, isn't every human in an area who's not even getting hit by it, just close to it, their insides are melting.
If we apply actual science and physics, probably.
Yes.
Well, like, think about it this way, Patrick. Lasers don't do that.
Sure. But this is like radiation based, isn't it? They established that in Godzilla, that it's a radiation based ability.
Okay, so
Godzilla has an up on Kong. I have another question. Nuclear laser breath.
I have another hugely important question. They're down in Hollow Earth. Kong is walking to in. There's clearly a door carved into the side of the mountain. He opens the door. He goes in. The columns surrounding the throne, right, where Kong sits, those things were carved.
Yes.
They were not stalagmites or stalactites. They were technology, dude.
Who built the door? Who carved the columns?
I mean, those were flat. They had sharp edges.
Yes.
Those columns surrounding... They were constructed. They were surrounding by Kong.
See, here's the thing.
Artisan Kong ancestors?
I'm going to explain this to you.
That is phenomenal.
Kong wasn't from Hollow Earth. His genetic memory has deteriorated in such a way that he does not have... He can use tools because he's at that level of intelligence. He can sign. Yeah, yeah. He has that level of intelligence. But the level of intelligence that... Let's say Bronze Age or Iron Age. Let's equate it there. Like we built column. You know,
they made a kick-ass axe.
Kong's people had advanced to a level of machining and like whatever to be able to construct this. But because Kong wasn't from there, he lost that genetic memory.
Oh. And
discovering it.
It's
by going back there.
It was a sliver. It was a sliver of Godzilla shoved. Okay, Craig. There it is. Coming back. Okay.
Okay, so I was going to make a Mechagodzilla point because that was an ultra like Godzilla nerdy moment of the big reveal. Spoiler alert, big reveal is
Mechagodzilla.
Human beings make Mechagodzilla. Hand wavy. We can, it's a kaiju. Hand wavy. It's a kaiju with a pilot. They even use the word pilot. Kaiju, hand wavy. Mm-hmm. Oh, AI. AI is always the problem. Brain of the pilot. Mecha God comes self-aware and wipes out his creams out into Hong Kong, kicking Godzilla's ass. I like that moment a lot.
I did too.
This is what I'll say is like I definitely called that as we were Hannah and I were watching and I was like Mecha Godzilla showing up and then they walk into the room and there was Mecha Godzilla, powered by some kind of random energy down
hand waving. How did they get the power? See, yet another thing that they did not explain.
They sent a drone down to look
and the drone scanned it.
Why did you
immediately analyze this power signature and duplicated it and replicated it?
Duplicated it in less than 3 minutes.
It's like
duplicated it.
We can now power and put it into Mechagodzilla. The most sophisticated advanced machine ever created by human beings.
Yes.
But we can power it in like less than a second. And it's good to go.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm shitting on this movie a lot. It's really easy to shit on, but
yes,
I think it looked amazing.
It looked amazing.
Godzilla and Kong fighting each other was fun.
There were so many. Oh, that's awesome moments.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's exactly what this movie is for. Oh my god, that was awesome moments. Yeah.
I watched it at home, so like I could even say this, but I'm curious what Chris has to say is. The sound quality, the sound design was incredible. Like it sounded really good.
It was awesome. Yeah.
I bet in the theater it was just incredible. Like this is the movie you see in a theater. This is
But
and like, oh man, I mean the special effects. Oh no, I mean King of Monsters.
It looks amazing.
Yeah. King of Monsters, every fight took place in a snowstorm or a rainstorm or at night. And that bothered me because it's like you want to just see, and that, by the way, that's a great way to like cover up your CGI looking like shit is snowstorm, rainstorm, night. But then the Godzilla Kong thing was at night, but it had this neon light that looked really incredible. And like his breath had like such an interesting light source to it. And then the sun actually rises while they're fighting Mechagodzilla. So you get to see them both in like straight up sunshine.
There's legitimately, it is some for people. We are three people who love kaiju movies.
Yes.
And the kaiju action in this is, I mean, I know it's like an homage to kaiju movies, but Pacific Rim is like my standard when it comes to like kaiju movies. Yep. This is that level of good when it comes to the kaiju action. It's as good as Pacific Rim, I think.
The fights between Godzilla and Kong are, I mean, absolutely 100% believable.
Yep. Well, and
absolutely believable.
It's the same kind of vein as Pacific Rim. This movie also is like you check your brain, you don't think too hard about it, and you just enjoy the two monsters fighting each other, or you enjoy the giant mech powered by two people.
Dude, Pacific Rim is Shakespeare compared to this movie. Dude,
100%,
100%
Shakespeare.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Who's gonna watch it again?
I will watch it at home 100%.
Yeah,
100%.
I might fast forward through the human scenes. anytime a human spoke or like, but Who, like, my favorite human was, like, this, the conspiracy.
Did you all know, Andrew, you immediately knew who he was, but we were racking our brain during the movie, Kira and I, about the Millie Bobby Brown's friend. What other movie is he in? We were racking our brain trying to remember what.
Deadpool 2.
Correct. Deadpool 2. Yep.
Deadpool 2. And the hunt for the
Wilder people,
which is a Taika Waititi movie. He was a young man in there, but yeah, he's that guy's becoming the funny Apex, best friend character. Yeah.
I mean, the security. The security for Apex. I mean, are you serious? You're building the most, the biggest weapon in the history of humankind. Your security is so terrible that stowaways can get into the heart of your facility. I mean,
and can we talk about the fact that Apex has somehow created not only this corporation, let alone they created Mechagodzilla and the technology necessary to do that. They've created technology that has invented gravity drive hover ships that can traverse hollow Earth and not get all their occupants killed, but they've also created a maglev system that almost instantaneously transports people from Pensacola, Florida to Hong Kong
through the earth.
Doesn't harm the occupants of this cargo craft.
Yeah. But if you're doing cargo and it's going at like hundreds of miles an hour, fine. The cargo's you packed it well enough, but the human beings who are not strapped into a chair at all,
they're not getting the juice from Expanse. They're just sitting there.
That's the point.
They're just standing there.
The Expanse makes the point constantly that the most delicate parts of any spaceship are the humans. If the humans didn't have to be in a spaceship, we could get ourselves to Mars. Whatever, but it's like the most delicate parts of a spaceship are the humans riding it. So
I just want to ask this question because we touched on it for a second. But like, if you can send a drone down to just scan the power source, why do you need to send humans at all?
Huh?
Well, you got to follow Kong, dude. Kong knows where it
is. Follow him with a drone. You can have a dude in a driver's seat.
100%.
Unmanned.
You got to have the little deaf girl to sign to Kong so he'll do it. I love the little deaf girl, by the way. She's great.
She's part of the Innu or whatever.
Innu tribe. Yeah. Fun fact, that actor who plays, she is actually deaf. She is hearing impaired.
I'm glad to hear that.
Can we talk about the fact that they have some legit heavy hitter, like these are people who are really crafted people in this movie, and this absurdity is going on, and they are just they're full
very sin, very full large sin. Check yeah very large check.
Alexander Skarsgård, Millie Bobby Brown is the biggest young star in the world right now.
Very large checks.
Who's Rebecca coach? Hall, who's awesome in everything she does, plays this scientist, and she is like, I am fully committed to this absurdity, and she goes for it, you know.
Coach
hard.
In who is the coach in
Kyle Chandler? He's awesome in everything.
He's awesome in everything. He has nothing to do with this movie. Like he literally shows up and talks for a little bit.
What do you think he got paid? I bet you he got paid $2 million.
He's got $2 million
like 3 minutes. Three minutes.
He's like all of the last.
He signed like a 4-picture contract when he did King of Monsters. Yeah. He's gonna do another.
He's in 3 scenes total.
Yep.
He's on the phone with Millie Bobby Brown.
Good for him.
He's on the phone with Millie Bobby Brown, and then he shows up because Kong and Godzilla are fighting, and then he shows up at the end to find Millie Bobby Brown. He's like, "You're alive!" And they found each other after that fight. Things would be in chaos.
Destroyed.
It would take you a week to find her. A week. Not to mention if you destroyed Hong Kong in such a nature, the world economy would be in shambles for years.
It's like a type 6 or 7 hurricane hitting Hong Kong, right?
One of the richest cities in the world.
plus a 7+ earthquake at the same time,
and killing 2 million people, at the minimum 2 million people are dead.
Don't forget, this is a world that has dealt with monarch, or this is a world where that has dealt with kaiju attacks and titan attacks for years. Sure. So they're prepared. You would think they're a little more prepared.
So the scene with Kong while he's on the ship and Godzilla shows up in the water fight, basically.
Yeah.
One of those aircraft carriers that they are fighting on top of that they destroy, one of those has 5,000 people on it. One of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then not to mention the couple of battles.
All dead.
Not to mention all the
ships. Gotta have that cool shit blowing up though, dude.
Like, and I turned to Hannah while we're watching it after that scene ended. It was an awesome scene, but I was like, we just watched 7,000 people die. We just watched easily 7,000 people.
Hand wavy, dude.
Hand waving. They get to punch each other. Isn't this fun?
Dude, if you can invent Mechagodzilla that's run by like a cyborg, you know, built inside a skull of another kaiju, and they can create gravity drives, they can create a fully automated aircraft carrier.
You know what I would love? I would love if Mechagodzilla was crewed by like 100 people, and there was
what do you think they weighed
inside of that, like building and like working on the engine and like actually driving it from the inside of it? Like, I think
let's think about the physics though of that aircraft carrier.
Yes.
What does Kong and Godzilla weigh?
And
if they stand on the aircraft carrier,
if Godzilla
it is not holding them.
Godzilla weighs hundreds of tons, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
Hundreds of tons, and when he's swimming, he plows through battleships. Uh-huh. Literally, they break apart just as he's swimming along. I mean, he doesn't push them.
He just obliterates them.
Obliterates. It's not like he shoves them up. If he hits the thing, it gives way to him. It's not like it just, you know, it gives way. It's obliterated.
So we have to reset here. We are not the red shirt guy at the WoW convention. We are not that guy. We are not standing at the microphone questioning the writers and the creators of the fucking show or the game about the internal consistency.
In episode 107,
we're not doing that. We are to be clear. We love this.
Yes.
It is hilarious.
Saying all that, it's so fun to watch.
It's so fun to watch. Yeah.
Check your brain at the door, but go see it.
See it in the theater.
It is so fun.
Okay. If you can safely do that, see it in the theater, because it deserves to be on a big screen.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to Falcon Falcon and Winter Soldier here. I caught up with the fourth episode. Okay, we haven't talked about this at all, so let's break down the episodes a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought the first episode was really bad. I didn't care about half the stuff that was happening. I thought a lot of the character setup was really, I think it was acted really poorly. I think it was written really poorly. Saying that, I liked a lot of the setup. I liked a lot of the ideas that we're talking about. I think it was the worst directed episode, and I was so disappointed that it was the first one. And then the second episode was so much better, and so I was like, oh my god!
I'm going to disagree with you from the jump about the first episode, because there are parts of it that I loved, especially Bucky in therapy and Bucky on a date. And Bucky,
I thought that was shot so dumb. Why are you so close on their face? And it was so distracting to me. And I feel like Bucky on a date was awesome.
Yeah, you can bump on that if you want the camera choice and the shot choice. It was distracting. I love
Sam's interaction with his sister and the whole. I mean, that the human element of that was awesome.
Yeah, I really didn't care and didn't like it, and there it was.
I love how grounded it is, dude. That's exactly what it's the tone it's setting is. It's completely grounded in the earth post snap.
I'm okay with like giving it some backstory and some human interaction and stuff. What I'm talking about is the false struggle that they're going through and spending time on like he's an Avenger and he can't get a bank loan. Like what the hell is that? I don't understand that. And
I thought that was hilarious. And the correct question, how do they make money? Are they paid? Those are all good questions. Banks don't give a shit if you're a celebrity. They give a shit if you can pay the mortgage, dude.
He's a former Air Force. Like, doesn't he get?
He's also gone for 5 years. The theme is
it's also racism, dude. It's racism.
Racism. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah,
okay.
And it's establishing the idea that Sam, Steve before him, was a regular guy.
Uh-huh.
Steve got the super soldier serum, became Captain America, but he had regular guy problems. Couldn't get a date, losing fights, insecure, tiny. He was a regular dude.
Couldn't join the military. They wouldn't let him in the military.
Couldn't join the military during World War II.
He was 4-H, or 4-F,
whatever it is. Sam, even though he's an Avenger and he has all of these skills and he's served in war and he's helped save the universe.
He's just a much better with better tech soldier. Yeah.
Yeah, but he is a regular dude. He has fights with his sister, the business troubles. He loves his nephews and he's trying to do a good thing for them, but he has regular American problems.
Everything you're saying, I totally agree with. I love the setup. I love all the storyline. I like the world that was created. I like every little bit. I think the story, I think it was directed really poorly. I thought it was edited really poorly. I thought it was written awfully. I think that everything was just not well done. And I was really scared that the whole show was going to be like that. Thankfully, episode 2 was light years better. Way better script, way better action. The beginning scene with him like flying through the air, there was like 17 helicopters that just like appeared out of nowhere. Like, and it kept going and going and going. It was like, where are these guys getting helicopters from? Like, why is this action scene still happening? Hey,
you bumped on things that I didn't. That's fine. That's going to happen.
Sure. I was overly critical of it, I guess.
You guys did not see last night's or Friday's episode.
I have seen Friday's episode. I am current.
Is it the third or the fourth one?
Fourth.
I've watched the third one with Zemo and the dancing.
That third episode is awesome. Zemo is amazing.
Zemo dancing
is so much fun.
Oh my god!
They released an hour long.
I loved. Okay, we got to talk about this. I love that Zemo, Sam, and Bucky are in this hidden lab with this knucklehead nerd scientist who has recreated the super soldier serum, and Sharon Carter is outside performing Overwatch and like kicking the shit out of all of these guys.
Yes,
100% just like handling shit, and those guys are the ones that are in there like investigating and like totally like that's their purpose in the scene, and then they give Sharon Carter the ass kicking. I loved it.
She's clearly been established through this as the most capable person, and most together, and she's got her shit together. She has responded to the struggles with power and authority, and she is owning her reality. And I loved the interaction with her.
The most capable, like a series based on Sharon Carter and her dealings with the underworld of Madripoor. I'd watch that show in a second.
It's an interesting concept about like this island of
pirates,
like, criminals and pirates.
And
like lots of money changing hands and stuff in this. Like
in the return world, right?
Yeah,
that's people. Yeah. There are vacuums of power, right? And those get filled by people.
Yeah, I would love to hear more about like what's going on with the world, and because I feel like this is the first show that's like really talking about like people coming back and like society being kind of crazy, and there's like even this like global, what do they call it, the GRC,
Global Repatriation Council,
yeah, and there's just like people who are displaced and like refugees everywhere, and like and governments are like in messes. Like I mean if you erased 50% of Earth, there would be mass chaos throughout the world, and then you put them all there would still be mass chaos throughout the world. Yeah, things would be a
different
shambles.
Kind of chaos. It'd be yes. a different kind of chaos. Yeah. I like that aspect of it. I mean, WandaVision was such a deeply personal story that they couldn't tell that kind of story, sure. honestly, which I get that. Telling this kind of story where it's very much like secret agent investigating, you know, world, you know, jumping from city to city, the different locations. I love that aspect of it. But yeah, no, telling that bigger story about, and I mean, and it gives the villain, Carly, she's grounded in the reality of this world and she's reacting to it. And it makes her struggle. Like you identify with, you can like understand that struggle. It's like,
yeah, right. It's really well done.
Part of it is great. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that. I think Marvel making the villains relatable is something that DC doesn't really like. They're taking their existing villains and then putting them into these situations and then saying, what's their reason for doing this? They're just not evil just because Zemo hates superheroes because them just battling it out kills your family.
He hates superpowered beings.
Yes.
Patrick is current, but there is moments in the most recent episode where Zemo's worldview becomes very clear.
Well, he shoots the guy who makes the super soldiers. Just blasts the dude there who has made been, more.
This most recent episode has actually had a pretty thoughtful debate about what it means to seek superpowers.
Right.
It poses that question and it's done very thoughtfully, actually.
Really, really well.
Yeah. So Patrick, you got to watch and then we'll talk more about, because things totally change after episode 4. The reality of the show completely changes. So,
it's
a big deal.
Yeah, man.
Well, I'm definitely excited about it. I think it's good. We've discussed before that like I really love Captain America. I was really looking forward to this show. And I like it. I wish it was a little better. But I think I enjoyed WandaVision more, I guess. WandaVision was crazier and more interesting. This seems kind of more it's Marvel. Definitely,
this is mainline MCU.
Yes, 100%.
WandaVision was a, oh my god, this is really weird and I love every moment of it.
WandaVision is an experiment.
Falcon and Winter
totally...
Soldier is mainline MCU. It could be on, you know, absolutely would be on ABC, right?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. WandaVision is an experiment that totally worked and paid off. This is much more kind of traditional Marvel action, which by the nature of the characters, it has to be. But I've enjoyed every episode to varying degrees. But the most recent episode, Patrick, is really, they go full send and it's really good.
This latest episode works on every level, philosophically, politically, the narrative and the storytelling, all of it works in this latest episode.
And it has awesome superhero moments.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet. Andrew hasn't watched any Invincible, my favorite comic. I just wanted to touch on it for a second with Christopher.
I'm current.
They're on episode 4 now also. It's great.
Do we know how many episodes this first season is going to be?
Of Winter Soldier or Invincible?
Invincible.
Invincible.
I think it's eight. I can look it up.
I read all the comics. I love the comic book. I didn't finish because they ended up going like 175 issues and I just like lost track. And that's a lot of money to spend on one comic book series. But where in the story of the
They're saying only 5? What?
Maybe they've only released information on 5 episodes. They can't only be doing
I'm looking. Oh, 8. It is 8.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I don't remember the first, like, arc. It seems, from what I remember of the comics, they are squarely in that opening arc.
Okay.
Without spoiling the comic or the show, I think that the moment that you're wanting from the end of issue 12 is when that happens.
Okay.
Sadly, we don't get to hear my thoughts because the recorder cut out. So I'm going to just add a little bumper at the end here to thanks for listening. Sorry, technical problems. We're not professionals, obviously. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek at twitter.com, brothersgeek.com, brothersgeek do stuff. On Instagram, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com for questions, comments. Sorry you don't get to hear Andrew's trivia, but you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we will fix these problems. Thanks again. Wear a mask. Be a hero.